it looks awful bright out there right now. I'm thinking the storm has passed over. Amen. So I'm glad you made it this morning, though. This morning we're starting, I'm going to say it's a four-week series, which is not really related as far as any biblical text. It's going to be a topical. And this is my transitional series to lead up to the new pastor, Pastor Dominic Aquilino. Now, folks, you got to get this right. It's easy. You're going from Dan to Dom, from Delasso to Aquilino. You got it? So that's an easy transition. Shouldn't be difficult at all. And the topics, and I want to clarify this right from the beginning. I in no way am specifically thinking of anyone in particular. This is a message from the Word of God, and take it in general terms, very broad terms, not specifically talking about Calvary Bible Church or any of the pastors that are here or past or the pastor that's coming. But it's important when you do have a new pastor come on staff, and he will come on with the current pastors and elders, that we probably review some things that we need to look at from the Word of God. And maybe how sometimes we, in our minds, drift a little bit from what the Word of God actually says. So this morning, my topic is the pulpit. Now, I'm not specifically talking about the single pastor that'll be in this pulpit. I'm talking about envision the pulpit as a symbol of the leadership of the church, the pastors and the elders here at Calvary or in any church that's out there right now that has a pastor and elders and deacons. The leadership of the church, that's the pulpit. And I want to show you what you can expect, what you should expect from the pulpit in any church, certainly here at Calvary Bible Church. Then next week, we're going to look at the pew, because it's so easy for people to have expectations of what they expect out of any pastor. Next week, I'm going to show you what expectations the pastor has of the pew. And that's you. So this week we're looking at the pulpit. Next week we're looking at the expectations that we should have from the pew. The following week we're going to look at general leadership in the church, the qualifications. What are God's qualifications for any man that he calls into ministry as a pastor or an elder? And we're going to be looking at that in the third week. In the fourth week, I'm not prepared to give you the title yet because I don't have one, but it will be connected, I promise. Amen? Okay. So my mind won't go that far ahead because a lot can happen between now and then. And I don't like to plan out too far ahead because you never know what's going to happen. And the Lord might give me something else at that time. But it'll be connected. This morning, the pulpit. And I want to start off each week with a little story. Now, these are stories, so don't get upset or angry. These are just stories. But they, you know what? Even if a story has a little humor to it, guess what, church? It still has some truth to it. And pastors are often put in a very difficult position on making decisions because you're torn between what I should do. As a matter of fact, most of us know what to do. The issue is how to do it properly. And this pastor was in a country church, and they were struggling financially, terribly struggling. And the members of the church were putting a lot of pressure on the pastor about coming up with some kind of a fundraiser because he needed the roof fixed, he needed a new furnace, the parking lot was in disrepair. So they needed a lot of funds in order to accomplish what they needed for the church. And the pastor was feeling this stress. At times, the pastor could be very stressful, and he was feeling this stress. Now, also, something that was very stressful to this pastor in a country church was two brothers were coming on a regular basis to the church. Now, these two brothers were a thorn in the pastor's side. All they did was complain and murmur and always disappointed, negative. There were times the pastor just wished he wouldn't even come. They were causing so much confusion and turmoil and discord in the church. But they were coming on a regular basis, and he had to deal with these two brothers. He had to deal with the financial situation. So anyway, one day he's in his office, and he gets a phone call from one of the brothers. And the brother says, "Pastor, I just want you to know my other brother has just passed away." And the pastor just paused, and the man said, "And Pastor, I want you to do the funeral." The pastor said, "Of course, I'll do the funeral." He said, "Now look, Pastor, I want you to tell the congregation that my brother was a saint." And the pastor thought and said, "Oh my, I'm sorry, to be honest with you, I just can't do that. You gentlemen have really been a problem to me, and I just can't stand up in front of a congregation and say he was a saint. And he said, Pastor, if you tell the congregation my brother was a saint, I will give you a $50,000 check for the building expenses. The pastor immediately said, I'll call you back. So he paused and he's thinking, how in the world can I do this and maintain my integrity as a pastor, but yet uphold my end of the deal and tell the congregation he was a saint? And all of a sudden, he had a revelation. So he calls the man back. And he said, okay. He said, I'm going to do the funeral, and I will tell the congregation your brother was a saint. And the man said, Pastor, are you sure? He said, you will hear the words. He was a saint. Pastor, at $50,000, are you sure you're going to tell? You will hear me say, he was a saint. He said, okay, Pastor, the check will be in the mail today. So a few days later, the funeral came, and the pastor was behind a pulpit, and they rolled the casket down to the front of the church. The pastor stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen assembled here this morning, I want you to know that the gentleman in this casket was one of the most wicked, evil, contemptible people I've ever met in my entire life. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. He got out of that one pretty good. Amen? So sometimes you got to be quick on your feet when you're a pastor. That's for sure. All right, enough of that. Next week I got another one for you. I love pastor jokes. I really do. I love pastor jokes. Okay, let's take the word of the living God. Open up to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. I read from the New King James. And if you would please stand out of respect for the word of God, I will read out loud to you the morning reading of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders who are among you I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Father, thank you so much for the blessing of being able to read your word aloud in a public setting. And Lord, may the Spirit of God take this word of God and speak to all of us about the Son of God. Thank you for the call you put on men all across this great globe to be pastors and elders and bishops and overseers. How thankful we are. Blessed Lord, speak to hearts this morning, even mine. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, of course, we have an English translation of God's word. And there's four titles that's given to the folk that are in leadership of a church. In Scripture, they're called a bishop, an elder, an overseer, and a pastor. Now, each one has a significant word in the Greek that defines that position, but they all are interchangeable in Scripture. It's the leader of a given flock of God, or leaders. Every time it's plural. It's never singular. If you look at this text here in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter starts off by saying, the elders, plural, who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that is will be revealed. So Peter's starting off by saying, look, I'm an elder. The Greek word for elder is the word that we use for the Presbyterian church. Presbyteros means I'm an elder. Could be overseer, could be shepherd, could be bishop. That word is episkopos, and that's where we get the Episcopal term from for the Episcopal church. They're all interchangeable. So what I want to get you to head, stay with the English translation. It's very accurate. It's very good. It gives you a good picture. Here he's talking about the elders that are in a church. And why is it plural? Because honestly, one person can't handle the requirements and the function that God wants in His local church. Now, they all don't have to be ordained. They all don't have to be in the office of pastor, but they should be in a leadership role where either they're an elder, in many churches they're deacons, and they oversee the ministry of that church. And Peter here is going to emphasize to them a challenge and a charge that I would give out to every pastor if I talked to him. Because it really breaks it down really simple. What can be expected out of the pulpit? I got this off the internet, so you know it's really accurate. Amen? Okay? But the gentleman that did it, I've read of and read some of his works, and he's pretty accurate. This was a survey taken among pastors all across the United States. And these are all non-Catholic, all Protestant pastors. And it's amazing. And it was three sheets long, the survey, so there was a lot of information. I just kind of gathered some of it just to let you know this morning how stressful being a pastor can really be. Today, well, as of 2017, so that's 2 years ago. And church, I don't think it's improved since then. If anything, it's probably gotten even more hectic. Over 50% of the pastors will leave their church. Over 50% of the pastors would leave their church if they could. 1,000 pastors leave the church a month for one reason or another. Over 50% of pastors today are discouraged. Over 50% will walk away during the first 5 years of their ministry. 70% of today's pastors don't have a close friend that they can call on. 50%, over 50% have some form of burnout or discouragement. Over 50% have a low self-esteem of themselves now than when they first entered ministry. And over 60% feel that their families live in a fishbowl. Y'all know what a fishbowl is? A fish is in that little bowl when everybody's looking at that fish and every move it makes. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but I would say pretty much from a lot of the pastors I know, and over the years I've got to know a lot of pastors, that would be relatively accurate. What is the problem? Church, here's the problem. The expectations are way too high. Jesus is not coming back until He's coming back. And the Apostle Paul's in heaven. And every pastor you have here, there, or anywhere is a human being that has tear ducts, feelings, emotions. And it's a man that God has called to shepherd His flock. He's not perfect, nor are you. And what he needs more than anything is support and recognition of the call that he has on his life. The expectations are off the chart. Have to be a corporate executive. Have to be good in administration. Have to be a good people person. Have to be able to speak Greek and Hebrew fluently. Have to. It goes on and on and on. Has to be a great counselor. When the truth of the matter is, he just got to be a man that God has called and he's doing the very best he can and surround himself with other men. That's why it's multiple that have different gifts than he does. And you'll see that in a minute. Ephesians 4:11 says this. Jesus has given to the local church pastor teachers for the edification of the church and the equipping of the church. So literally, and I'm saying this with some humor to it, but literally, biblically speaking, a pastor is God's gift to a church. I'm sure you grew up and met some people that thought they were God's gift to the human race, or some guys think they're God's gift to women or something like that. Literally, a pastor is God's gift to the local church to equip that church, to edify that church, to use that church for the glory of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, the one thing you can expect, and this you can expect, this is an expectation you want him to meet, whether it be myself, Pastor Rick, Pastor Rob, or any of the men on the elder board. This is your expectation that they will shepherd the flock of God. That's the expectation. Now, that's easy to say. What does that entail? Well, let's go back to Scripture and see what we have here. The elders of the church, I exhort, Peter saying, I know what it is like, guys. And I'm exhorting you, this is what you need to do. Verse number 2, shepherd the flock of God. The first thing a pastor has to remember, and you can expect this to remember, you're not my flock, you're God's flock. You belong to Him. And any shepherd that comes along must realize this is God's flock that He has entrusted to me. I'm speaking me, meaning the pulpit, the pastor, the leaders of the church, has entrusted to us to shepherd. I hate to use this phrase, but you'll get the picture. It's almost like God has called men to be babysitters. And I don't want that to be offensive. To look over, to watch over, to oversee His flock. And every pastor should be very mindful of that. That's a heavy responsibility. You are God's sheep. And God said, Thelasso, I'm calling you to shepherd my sheep. So if anything would motivate a pastor, it would be his responsibility before God to shepherd the sheep. And you know something, honestly, some sheep are hard to shepherd. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Some sheep are hard to shepherd. Some sheep look like sheep, but guess what? You know what the Bible says? They're wolves in sheep clothing. So you got to be careful in your shepherding skills, but turn to Psalm 78, verse number 72. Let me show you what the Bible says about shepherding skills. Psalm 78, verse 72. This is a great verse of Scripture for every pastor to look at. It's talking about a little shepherd boy by the name of David. And if you go back to verse number 70, you with me now? Psalm 78, verse 70. He, meaning God Almighty, see that? Verse 70 of Psalm 78. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. David was already shepherding, and God says, I'm choosing you. I'm calling you from following the ewes that had young. He brought them to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Look at verse 72. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. That's his character, correct? The integrity of his heart, that's character, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. That's competence. Character and competence. And I'll put character over competence anytime. If you're in corporate America, they could care less about your character. They're just worried about your competence. In ministry, your character means everything. And by the way, when it says, and the skillfulness of his hand, that meant whatever he can do skillfully, that's what he's going to do. But he can't do everything. That's why we have a multitude of leaders. And they use all their gifts together to successfully shepherd the flock of God. So it's twofold. He's got to have character, and he should. And he's got to be able to use his hand skillfully. Whatever he can do ought to be how he is featured within a leadership team to accomplish the deeds that God has given him the talent to do. Now, when Pastor Dom comes, his main responsibility will be preaching and teaching the Word of God. But he's still going to be a pastor, along with the other pastors. And each one of them uses their skill to help this church become what God wants them to, and the integrity of their heart, the character that they have within their heart, and all the elders too. Character is supreme to God. By the way, the Lord does not call those who are able, but He does enable all those He calls. I wasn't a public speaker at all until God put a call on my life. As a matter of fact, if you narrow my wife down, you'll find out real quick, I didn't like to speak in front of any kind of crowd. As a matter of fact, if I was in a supermarket off duty and I saw somebody I knew, I might head the other way because I really didn't want to talk to them. So God didn't call me because I was able, but He sure did enable me. And it's His gifts within me that I want to use to His glory, just like any other pastor wants to use his gifts to his glory. I'm not sure how Pastor Dom is wired. I do know this. He's a very good people person, and he's strong in the pulpit. And that's the gifts that will be used here at Calvary Bible Church. So let's get back to 1 Peter chapter 5. I kind of jumped over there to that Psalm 78, because I read that every once in a while just to keep me in tune. Shepherd the flock of God, here's the key, which is among you. I'm going to show you this morning three different verses, a series of verses we're going to look at. in all three of them, describing pastoral, shepherding, eldering, overseer, bishoping ministries, the word among keeps popping up. Among you, among you, among you, among you. That word among in the original Greek, the root word means to be permanently fixed, to be permanently fixed with or in the midst of something. So here he's saying, listen, listen, when God calls somebody to pastor or to shepherd in a church, that is a call that he wants to permanently fix you among the people. Not above the people, not under the people, not outside of the people, among the people. You can't separate a shepherd from his sheep. Every church that we've had and we've turned over to another guy, before I give my blessing, I give him a sniff test. You know what that sniff test is for? He better smell like sheep. Amen? Because if he don't stink like sheep, he's not hanging out with the sheep. A shepherd must be with and among the sheep, in the midst of them. How in the world can you influence somebody if you're not with them to influence them and to be an example for them? So that word among is so key in the whole presentation from the Bible of an overseer, a pastor, an elder, a bishop. Shepherd the flock of God. It's God's flock. The pulpit is called the shepherd, that we are among them. And then he says, serving as overseers. That word overseers means to oversee, to supervise. See, we have such a corporate mindset. The servant leadership is not to supervise like you're the boss, do this and do that. It's to supervise and working with them to get them to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish through the gifts they have. And how in the world can you know what gifts they have unless you're among them? You can expect that from the pulpit. They should be among you. When you come in here on Sunday morning, you ought to be able to see the leaders as best you can. They should be among the flock, shepherding the flock, not serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So they should be willing and they should be eager to serve in the local church and shepherd the flock of God. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you. God has entrusted. Remember now, Peter's talking to other elders. God has entrusted you with these people, this flock. Think about that. God's watching. And how you handle this flock, God's going to reward you or God's going to take rewards from you. Because that's the call he's put on your life, to shepherd the flock that belongs to him, that he's entrusted to you, and being examples to the flock. Examples on how to live the Christian life. Not perfectly, but at least by desire. Boy, I tell you what, pastors can get themselves in trouble, because you know what you preach, you got to live. Amen? And when I was here at Calvary Bible Church 16, 17 years ago, one of the brothers that was attending here came up to me and he said, Pastor Dan, he said, I'm very upset at you. What did I do now? Type thing. You know, what did I do? He said, well, yesterday, this is a Sunday morning he's talking to me. He said, yesterday, I was riding around Hanover. I came to a stoplight and I looked at the car next to me and that was you sitting in there. And I beat the horn and you looked over and I waved and you didn't even wave back. How come? I said, wait, you're telling me this happened yesterday, Saturday? He goes, yeah. I said, are you sure it happened on Saturday? He goes, I'm positive. It was yesterday. I said, man, I wasn't even in town yesterday. We live in Dover. Wasn't even in town yesterday. He goes, well, this guy looks exactly like you. I said, man, I sure hope he's living good. Amen. Because if that guy looks exactly like me, he's going to get me in trouble. We are called as leaders in the church from this pulpit, the leadership team, to be examples. And again, I have to add as best we can. That's the desire. Don't hold a pastor on a pedestal so high that when he falls, he's Humpty Dumpty. Because pastors will mess up. Pastors are people. And they're going to mess up. But they should want to fess up and get right. And we want to be examples to the church. And here's the good thing. For all the pastors that are here, or ex-pastors, or prior pastors, or people that want to get into ministry, here's the thing. Yes, it can get tough at times. Hours can be long at times. Phone calls when you don't want to get phone calls. All kinds of issues in the local church. Sometimes the sheep don't want to do what sheep ought to do. But we still need to shepherd the flock of God and be example, do it willingly, do it eagerly. And when the chief shepherd, now who's that, folks? Jesus. And when Jesus appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So every pastor, every elder is looking for the crown. That's why I do what I do. As much as I love the sheep, and I do love sheep, I love Jesus more. And I want to please Him. And my thought would be this, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not going to change my mind on this. But maybe I'm wrong. But if I please Him, for the greater majority of people here, that'll please you. Because we're in tune to WGOD, the best station you can ever get on your radio. WGOD. So as a shepherd, the expectation you have of me is I will shepherd you. Now, this, I just jotted down a few things. Part of the shepherding ministry of the leadership of a church, which is what you should expect, to be shepherded. To be shepherd, feed the flock, protect the flock, care for the flock, teach the flock, train the flock, guide the flock, lead the flock. And this is the one you're not going to like. Discipline the flock with love when needed. The biggest stress for most pastors I know is making close friends with part of their flock, and then they got to deal with an issue with their friends in that flock. You are the flock. The expectation of this pulpit, the leadership, would be to shepherd you. Basically, to love you, care for you, feed you properly, keep you healthy. But I use the word again, to be among you. Please turn to the next scripture I want to look at. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're looking at verses 12 and 13. And you know, before we even read this, some of you may be thinking, and believe me, I know there's some pastors that aren't doing what they ought to do too. I get that. Please remember this. Again, I'm not talking about anybody in specific. This is all general terminology. I was born at night. It wasn't last night. I've been around the block. I've been in over 45 different churches, met a lot of different pastors. And I can tell you this, not everybody who went was sent. And just because you're in the pulpit doesn't mean you were called to be there. It's not a job. It's a calling. And you know when you know when you know when you've been called. So I'm talking about pastors that have been called of God to shepherd the flock of God. Look at what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says in verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those, plural, who labor, how folks, among you, a fixed position to be a part of, in the midst of, or to be with. It's fixed. Who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now that be at peace could be in reference to the flock itself, or it could be the flock and the pulpit. The pew and the pulpit ought to be at peace with each other. What I have found is if the pulpit is connected to the pew, you got a healthy church. If the pulpit is disconnected from the pew because there's some issues on either side, then you got a church that's not healthy. I like to liken the pulpit and the pew, the shepherd and the flock, as a marriage. It's a love affair. This pulpit ought to love the pew, and the pew should love the pulpit, the leadership. It is a marriage. I didn't set this up. God, have you ever had somebody tell you, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. By the way, are they right? Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? No. Should you go to church if you're a Christian? Yeah. I mean, why would God spend all this time, and you're going to see in the third week in 1 Timothy and Titus, giving all these instructions of what a church leader should look like and his qualifications, and talk about shepherding his flock, and then say it's okay to sit home and watch Charles Stanley? When you get sick, call Charles Stanley. Not you, because you're here this morning, but I'm saying there's people sitting at home saying, oh, I love John Hagee. That's good. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the believers, even as some do. And certainly as the day of the Lord approaches, you need to be in the house of God on Sunday, if possible, because God has set up an order, a structure of leadership, the pulpit, and the flock, the pew. And here, he says, peace among yourselves, who labor among you and are over you. That is difficult for some guys to grab. It is not easy to be among you and yet over you. And that's where the sheep have to understand their role. And this is not derogatory. This is not to demean someone and say, well, you're only sheep. No, you're God's sheep. I'm part of God's sheep, but He chose me to shepherd God's sheep. So I need to be among you, accessible with you, approachable, care for you, love you, feed you, take care of you. But yet you got to recognize the leadership is over you. And here's the qualifications. Watch this now. In the Lord. I do it for God's sake. I'm not trying to just be a boss. I'm saying I really believe scripturally this is what the Lord would have us do. Here's the Word of God. Let's pray about this and make sure you understand exactly why we're doing what we're doing. And the two working together is a beautiful picture of the church of the living God on planet Earth that represents the kingdom of God, the unity we have between the pulpit and the pew. That's huge. Summary. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Now, this is a relatively long reading. We're good on time, so we're okay. But you want to see this because this is the great Apostle Paul. Paul, on his third missionary journey, is going to call the elders, plural again, of the church of Ephesus to meet him. That's a church that he planted. And he spent some time there. He planted the church. He was there for years. And he worked with them and edified them and encouraged them and taught them and pastored them and shepherded them. He leaves. Now he's going to call for them because he wants to say his final farewell to them. This is like a farewell address that the Apostle Paul's given. But he wants to exhort them as elders on their responsibility. And see if you don't see the similarity between what Paul was saying and what Peter said. Because it's all the Word of God inspired by the same Spirit to speak to you and to me about what can you expect from the pulpit. So bear with me as I read this. I'm going to start at verse number 17. I want you to see the whole flow. It's a beautiful reading. It'll just take a couple minutes. Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. And from Melanus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders, again I say plural, of the church. And when they had come to him, and he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I have always lived. How? Among you. Paul was a people person, lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that was Paul's preaching right there. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Can you imagine that? Paul said, God told me, He's called me to preach. And I'm going to go to all these cities and preach the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit told me I'm going to get beat up and locked up everywhere I go. Huh? You know, I mean, but Paul still did that because he was obedient to the Lord, knowing what was awaiting him. But none of these things moved me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching, there is that word among again, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of blood of all men. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That should be every preacher's desire. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all. Remember now, he's speaking to the elders from Ephesus. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. See that? Same thing as 1 Peter. You are among the flock. You are overseers of the flock. It's God's flock to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. What's the call again on the elders here? To shepherd, to take care of, protect, to care, to teach, to train, to guide, to lead. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves, often dressed like sheep, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. That's one of the ministries of the pulpit, is to protect from false teaching, false sheep, to make sure that we don't have wolves in here devouring up the sheep. And Paul gives the exact same challenge to the elders of Ephesus that Peter gave to the elders. He said, shepherd the flock, shepherd the flock. That's the main call on a pastor or an elder, is the shepherding ministry they have before God Almighty. Because you belong to Him. I belong to Him. We belong to Him. Ministry is not an I thing and a you thing. Ministry is a we thing. It's us. It's like when you get married. Before you get married, it's I, me, and mine. Right? I, me, and mine. That's before I got married. Once I get married, now what is it? Us, we, and ours. And that should be the same thing in ministry. Where guys go wrong in ministry is they think God gave that flock to them to make that flock what they want it to be. God gives this flock to the pastor, so this pastor can shepherd the flock and guide the flock to where God wants it to be, where God wants it to be. And that's the shepherding ministry, and that you can expect out of the pulpit. Turn to Philippians chapter number 4 in closing. But we're closing early today. Anybody complain about getting out early? Have a good fellowship time. Again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippi. This is my closing verse because it's the verse that really is the challenge for anybody in leadership, the pulpit. And you can expect this, by the way. You should expect it. Look at what Paul says here. Talking to a church at Philippi, I'm reading it to the church on Wilson Avenue called Calvary Bible Church. The things, verse number 9 of Philippians 4, the things which you learned and received and heard. Paul saying, the things that I preached and taught you as your shepherd. The things I preached and taught you as your shepherd. And saw in me, these do. Paul was the first sight and sound that came along. Paul said, I want you to hear what I'm saying, but I want you to watch what I'm doing. Because I'm telling you what Jesus wants you to do to please Him, to glorify Him, to expand the kingdom of God. But I also want to show you as an example on how it should be done. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. These do. And the God of peace will be with you. And church, we can do that. And Pastor Dom, is probably going to watch this message later today. He told me he always streams in to see what's happening at Calvary Bible Church. So, Pastor Dom, greetings. And I'm setting the table because I know he would agree with everything that I said, that the main call he has on his life is to shepherd. Not easy at times, but it's a call God puts on your life. Let me just give you some thoughts I had real quick. A pastor, an elder, an overseer, a bishop, a leader in the local church, and these all begin with the letter E, should be enthusiastic. Is that fair? I mean, if you got a guy that looks like he's sucking on lemons all the time, I'm not sure that's the right guy you want in the pulpit. Should be enthusiastic. A pastor does not want to be a soap salesman who doesn't believe anybody's dirty. Because if you don't believe anybody's dirty, you're not really trying to sell that soap. You with me? You want a pastor that believes you need to hear what God has to say to you so you can live a better life to please Him. And hopefully if anybody's here that doesn't know Jesus, they'll come to know Jesus through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So he should be enthusiastic. A pastor should be energetic. If he falls asleep in the pulpit, you got a problem, folks. He should be energetic. He should be encouraging. But it's so easy to see the negative. We were just visiting this last week, Brother Mike King and myself. We were visiting with somebody, and there were some issues, some deep issues. Donnie, it was when I was to visit Marilyn Ruth with Donnie Ruth and his daughter. We were talking about the sad issues in life and the downside and the issues that come into our life. And we can look at that and dwell on that. But here's the encouragement, folks, if you want to remember this. When we see cow patties, y'all know what a cow patty is? See, I never knew that until we moved up here. I didn't know it. Okay, we'll get that. I'm back. Man, I said cow patties. It went south real quick, didn't it? Huh? Whoa. When we see a cow patty, God sees fertilizer that'll make things grow. You with me? When we see a problem, God says, no. That's an opportunity to trust me. And a pastor, the pulpit, should be encouraging. Should be evangelistic. Doesn't have to have the gift of evangelism, but he ought to have a heart for evangelism. Stop and think. If a person isn't saved, where are they going? You know, sometimes we forget we need to think lost. There's a beautiful song. It's called People Need the Lord. And the pulpit should be at least evangelistic in its thought process and presenting the truth and a challenge to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The pastor should be an equipper, both in the pulpit, personal counseling, a class, a Sunday school class, or an evening worship service on Sunday. And he should be an example. And by the way, that's why leadership is plural, not one person. Because one person can't do all that all the time. But you get a group of men. I don't care if it's 2 men, 3 men, or 10 men. If you get a group of men that are sold out to Jesus, something's going to happen. People ask me all the time, what do you think about the form of church leadership? Deacons, elders, singular, plural. I said, you know what? The bottom line is this. You have the right form of leadership and the wrong men, they ain't going nowhere. But bless God, you get the right men, they'll make anything work. Because they love Jesus and depend on Him. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll do the drawing. All men unto me. So leadership is key with integrity and character to shepherd the flock and to be an example. Now I'm going to close. Because this place might blow up before we're done. I don't want to try to, you know. Dave, what was that? Did we just have a short back there? Something outside the building. You got to come to Calvary Bible Church on Sunday morning because you never know what's going to happen here. Amen? That's exciting. 2 men Now, I don't really pastor anymore. I can't do it. My age, my limitations. But there was a time when I was pastoring. And two men that have influenced my pastoral life and have taught me the importance of just being a shepherd. And you using that word among, which is used in what we just read seven different times. The word among pops up. Among. And the first one would be Pastor Leonard Blight down at Calvary Bible Church. Calvary Tabernacle, that down in Baltimore City. Great man of God. Such an example to me of what a pastor should be. But let me tell you how it ended for Pastor Blight. He pastored for over 40 years. And he was dying of cancer. And he was terminal. He knew he was going to die. And he gathered all the elders in his church together. And he said, man, I just got the doctor's report. What I have is terminal. I probably have less than a year to go. Now, this is a pastor's heart. And he looked at his elders and he said, now for the next year. Well, first he said, you know what? I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years, telling people how to live for Jesus. He said, for this next year, I'm going to show people how to die for Jesus. Now, folks, that's powerful. That's powerful. I'm going to live my life to the last moment, praising him, teaching him. And this guy just loved his flock. And the other guy, pastor, that really influenced me was a guy named Ken Tipton, who was the worship pastor at Oak Grove Baptist Church. He's now currently at Calvary Baptist in Blair. Ken was a tremendous, he was a worship pastor, but he used to always tell everybody, I'm a pastor that happens to lead worship. Because the pastor part is more important than the worship part. And he just taught me so much about being with people. You can't separate the shepherd from the sheep. You can't do it. And if you do, you got the wrong guy. But folks, as a word of encouragement, I have peace that whatever date happens, I hand the baton of Calvary Bible Church and that pulpit over to Pastor Dom. I can walk out with a smile on my face knowing he's the right man. He's going to fit in well with the leadership team. He's going to be part of the team, with the team. You're going to love him. He's got a great personality. I really believe and sense he's God's man for the church. And by the way, isn't that who you want? God's man? You know, it's not a popularity contest or beauty contest. It's who does God want to have here. So let me close with this thought this morning. If anybody here this morning has any reservations about the future of Calvary Bible Church, I want you to pray this morning. Say, Lord, give me your mind on this church. And give me peace about this is where I'm supposed to be. Because next week you're going to hear, I'm telling you, what you can expect from that pulpit is shepherding and be among you. Now, next week, it's what can that pulpit expect out of you? And you're going to be shocked at what the Bible has to say that the pew needs to do. Now, last week we had a baptism. We preached on baptism, and it was a great service. I loved it, the baptism. If there's anyone here that's made a decision, I want to get baptized, at the end of the service, just come forward and tell me about it. We'll pray together right here. And if you're here this morning and you have an here's where the evangelistic part comes in. If you're here this morning, it's just me and you talking. I say, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You don't know. You need to know because the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Heaven is not a hope so, think so, maybe so. It's a know so. And I want you to bow the knees of your heart right where you're seated and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the greatest decision you'll ever make on planet Earth. And I mean that with every ounce of my being. The greatest decision you'll ever make on planet Earth is giving your life to Jesus. Maybe some of you have drifted from the mark. You want to come back. You need to rededicate, reconsecrate. As Pastor Rick said earlier, reconsecrate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Live for Him. So we're going to have a moment of solemn prayer where you pray all over. Then the worship team is going to come. And I would encourage you, if you made a decision this morning to get baptized, salvation, rededication, you come forward. We'll pray together. And then you can go on your way rejoicing in your heart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes if we would.